it even got down to shit like, you know, the host has to have a little bit of a big head, because they figured, like, if the host has a little bit of a big head, like, they're more inviting and, like, they could take up more space, like, on the TV screen and shit like that.
So you game show host, they'd be like, you got a big head. Hey,
well, you got a big ass head, bro. I got this idea for you. It's called The Price is Right.
You look like you know so many prices in that big old head. Welcome to TV I Say with Ashley Ray, your go-to podcast for discovering what to watch on TV and getting behind-the-scenes insight from the people who make the shows you love. You just heard a little tease of my chat with Jaquise Neal. This is one of my favorite interviews we've done. I love game shows, and we dive in. We go into the history of it. What makes a good game show host? It's not what you would think. What makes a good contestant? And why are game shows today just not hitting like the old ones did? We get into all of it, plus some of the ridiculous new game shows. I don't know if you're watching the new Is It Cake, but we have got to discuss how everybody knows which one is cake. The whole show is falling apart. So we get into that too. Just go listen, enjoy it. By the end of this thing, you're going to want to go watch at least like 3 hours of Bob Barker. So let's get into it. Enjoy my interview with Jaquise Neal.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Jaquise Neal, welcome to TV Club. I'm here. We just kind of jump right into it.
Listen, we got to jump in.
You got to jump in. There's so much TV. We don't have time for some band like,
yeah, you know, listen, we've been doing podcasts forever. People didn't heard everything we got to say. We are here to talk TV.
But listeners, you're going to know Jaquise from Grand Crew, because I told you to watch Grand Crew every single day of my life. One of my favorites, Physical, which I also love, just had a wonderful series finale. Comedy Bang Bang, How I Met Your Father. And most importantly, your hit monthly comedy show, Comedian Feud.
Yes. Yeah. So fun. I love ripping the idea of a 50-year-old television show and just bringing it to live stages in L.A. And I got to get you on.
Please. I love a game show. I would love it. I would be so happy to do it. We're going to get deep into game shows this episode with you. One of my favorite things, bad game shows that I've been watching lately. But, you know, before we do that, I want to talk about some recent TV news, what we're watching right now. It was just Halloween. Did you dress up for Halloween?
I did. I dressed up. I was so lazy. I wore the same costume to 3 different parties. Nice. I dressed up as Tom from Tom and Jerry with my partner, who is Jerry. So
makes sense.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful.
And that's a nice, easy costume. I feel like that's one you can keep in the closet, go back to it time and time again. You know.
Because if I'm ever solo, I don't have to be Tom. I can be a rat. I can be a gray rat.
Just a gray mouse. You just be a cat. You can really mix that one up.
I can mix it up. I can add some stuff to it.
Yeah.
I can mix it up.
My like go-to staple costume is I have a uniform from the Rockford Peaches, which you may know from the film or TV show A League of Their Own. But I was But I just to clarify, I was not dressed up as a character from the show or the movie. I was dressed up as just a random Rockford Peaches player, which was a real baseball team.
That's why I was confused at first. I haven't seen The League of Their Own in a very long time.
Exactly.
But I'm from Chicago, so like, I was like, right. Rockford, what?
Oh yeah, I'm from Rockford. So for me, I like grew up like around the corner from where they practiced. So nice. I have like my name on it. So I just really want to clarify that I did not break SAG rules.
There you go.
Unlike Megan Fox, who did.
So many people did.
And you know
so
what?
Many people did.
I know that SAG said it, and I think everyone kind of understood. It's one of those like respect things, you know? Don't post a bunch of Instagram pictures promoting these movies right now. And you're in a costume, it's gonna make it look cool. Just don't be chill. If you're going trick-or-treating and your kid is like, be the Terminator daddy, you can do it. Oh, fine.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
But like don't do what Megan Fox did. She went online, she posted on Instagram, she tagged SAG in a Kill Bill costume. She tagged him. She was like, I want you to know.
She was like, I want y'all to
say something. She wasn't,
say something.
Didn't even have candy. Wasn't even
Damn.
Like, no excuse. Was truly just like, I mean, she must really love Kill Bill. Is there a character that you would risk your morals to represent?
Last year, I think I was so proud of my Halloween costume that if it was this year and I had that idea, and then SAG was like, nah, I would probably be like, man, fuck y'all. So last year, I went as King Richard, the Will Smith movie.
Oh, yeah.
And I had the whole, like, King Richard, the socks, the short-ass ball shorts, everything. But on the back of my little sports coat or whatever, I ironed on, keep my wife's name out of your fucking mouth.
So, classic.
Like wow. I was King Richard in the front, Will Smith on the back. And when I was like, this is the perfect Halloween costume. And if it was this year, I probably still would have rocked that.
Yeah, and I think you gotta get that on Instagram. You gotta get that on Instagram. And
I think you get away with that.
There's some creates. You know, Will Smith on the back. You can be
Will Smith on the back.
You know, yes. So that's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah. Who would you risk your morals for?
No one could break. is my answer. No, actually, any character from Living Single. It would have to be like they give me access to the Living Single costume closet that I'm sure is being kept in a museum somewhere, as it should be, because they had such good and I get
such
an hour lives. To just dive in and take whatever I want. And then they're like, that's your Halloween costume. I would do it. Like I would.
Okay.
But I set up some really circumstantial, like that situation is never going to happen. So.
Yeah. I think you're safe. By the time that happens, I'm hoping we're off strike.
So I want to get into game shows. What was like the first game show you loved? What kind of pulled you into this genre and like starting the show?
Yeah, honestly. So I didn't realize how much of a relationship I had with game shows until I started acting. And then even more so over the past like 5-6 years. But I would say the first game show that really pulled me in was Double Dare.
Oh, yeah.
With Mark Summers' Nickelodeon show.
Absolutely.
I actually credit Mark Summers. I did Double Dare live once. He came on tour right before a pandemic.
We were really living.
I went to the show.
We were really living.
We was living. It was late 2019 too. It was right before the shit. And I got on stage and I got to tell him he's the reason that I wanted to become an actor, because like I would always, we had one of those hampers growing up that looked like a podium.
Oh yeah.
It was like a square hamper and you know, I was short enough. So I would always stand behind it and I would unroll the paper towel so I can get like the long like tube and pretend like that was my mic. My mom loved it. And I would like pretend like I was hosting, right? Like I was hosting game shows and shit like that.
Every little kid's dream to host a game show.
It was great. I mean, I loved it. It was great. And so like that got me into like feeling comfortable performing in front of people and wanting to perform in front of people. And I was always pretending to be Mark Summers. So like I always like attribute him to being the reason like I wanted to be an entertainer. So probably Double Dare and then Price is Right.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I wanted to be on Double Dare so badly. As a kid, I just kind of believed it would be a thing in my life. Like, you know, some men have to get drafted to the army and every child at some point has to go on Double Dare. And I would just be like, you have to prepare. You have to be ready for this. Could you handle it?
I feel sorry for kids. I mean, like, I know, you know, we always end up sounding like, oh, people get off our grass. But I do kind of feel sorry for kids now because I got nieces and shit. And I'm like, y'all don't have
a double
game
date.
Game shows.
Yeah.
Y'all don't have game. Like, they we totally had so can. Many game shows, like, that were geared for us. But not only they were geared for us, but adults actually enjoyed watching them, too. They don't really have anything like that. So it's a bummer. It's a bummer
yeah,
to me.
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea what's on Nickelodeon right now. But, no. I mean, there was just a study that came out where they interviewed Generation Alpha and Gen Z. It was, like, a study ranging from, like, 10 to 22-year-olds. Asking them what they like and dislike about TV right now. And I believe it was 49% said that they think there's too much sex on television and that they just want TV shows that focus on friendship. So I was like, I guess Nickelodeon has gone in a really different direction.
Because
back in my, when I was 10 years old, I was like,
I was seeking out
even
I was like, well, yeah, we had so many shows that were just all about friendship.
Yeah.
And babies being friends and like teenagers and like everybody was friends.
Everybody was friends. And then like there'd be one episode where they'd be like, you'd be like, why did they have those two characters like hold hands like that?
Right.
That's not for me. It was like.
Yeah. And all the relationships were either manipulative or like, you know, secretive. Like like Helga would, Hey Arnold.
Yeah. It was always like, was you just, like someone, ew. You're a weirdo.
Ew.
You probably have a gum statue in your closet.
Right. It's so weird. It's so weird. So, or it was like Urkel, where it was like, all right, man, leave her alone, bro.
Yeah, like back off. You also said The Price is Right.
Yeah, I got to be on The Price is Right.
Please tell me everything about that experience, please.
I got to be on The Price is Right with Bob Barker.
Okay, now you're really talking for real now.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Like, Bob Barker was another big influence on me just as a game show host.
The man practically raised me whenever I pretended to be sick so I could stay home
seriously.
From school.
Yeah, seriously. He actually, he just passed away. He actually passed away on the same day as my granddad.
Oh.
Which was obviously sad, but also, like, kind of made me smile a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I watched it with my grandparents growing up a lot.
Did you ever think about getting one of those airbrush shirts made with Bob Barker and your grandpa on it?
I should frame it. At the mall.
Yeah.
Get one of those.
And he's like,
yeah.
Yeah,
he's
you're
like,
right.
Come on up.
Yeah.
Come on up. You the next contestant in heaven.
just an idea.
I might do that. That would actually be very funny. So yeah, Price is Right was my shit growing up. I don't even know why. It's such a simple game show.
Yeah. How much do things cost? And I was there.
How much
like,
do things cost?
How much do things cost? It's amazing.
Yeah, it's such a simple game show that has so many moving pieces and different games. And I think that's the cool thing about Price is Right, as opposed to like other game shows, which is why Price is Right has stood the test of time, because the concept is the game show, as opposed to like most other game shows where like the premise is the game show. So like Family Feud, for instance, like the premise is like, you know, the game doesn't change. It's all about the premise. But the concept of Price is Right is how much do shit cost? And they get to play so many different games to like go with this concept.
Yeah.
And so like, so you
it's
get to
so
see
much more exciting because you're like, oh, which thing are they going to have to do? Or is there a new one? Or like what's, and it always is kind of weird and random. I remember they had one that was like a mountain climber and you had to like get it to the top of the mountain. It's it's always just like, what?
And then I'll do you one further. It had that song, yodel, 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 that yodel song. I loved that shit.
I just want to go watch some old Price is Right now. TV, I say.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at King's Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at King's Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun this season. King's Island is now open weekends.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
So do you know a lot about like the history of game shows? Because you're like breaking all this down for me.
I mean, depending on the game show, yes. I do know how they used to pick hosts and like the parameters for a host.
Well, yeah, how do they? Because it is such a specific skill. I have seen people who I love as, you know, actors, comedians, whatever, try to host and it's bad. Yeah, it's like, you know, such a like niche thing. How do they pick these people? What is it?
What was the thing? Well, it's changed a lot recently because now it is about like, you know, what celebrity can we get to host a game show?
Yeah.
You know, you don't get to like even Passe Jack is about to step down from Will.
Yeah.
Wheel of Fortune and American Idol.
Oh, yeah. Ryan Seacrest is coming in. And I'm kind of
like Ryan Seacrest is I will give Ryan Seacrest credit.
Yeah.
He is like a true host.
He's
He's
a host.
He's just a celebrity now.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he is a host.
But
I would say
first and foremost, he is a host always.
Yeah. It's so funny. It even got down to shit like, you know, the host has to have a little bit of a big head because they figured like if the host has a little bit of a big head, like they're more inviting. And like they could take up more space like on the TV screen.
Game show
and shit like
that.
You
got a big head. Hey, big head.
You got a big ass head, bro. I got this idea for you. It's called The Price is Right.
Your head is big as hell.
Your head is big as hell.
You look like you know so many prices in that big old head.
Yes. Yes. And they also would try to stay away from actors, per se. They would like to go to people who were presenters, like radio DJs or newscasters or interviewers or things like that. Because the thing that makes a game show host good, obviously charisma and all these things like that, but it's really the ability to comfortably think on your feet.
Yeah.
So, and not improv in the way of like comedy, but just improv in the way of, you know, I can very quickly know which lane to go down based on anything you say at any given moment. And you have like just the calm voice and you can keep things moving. It was a timing thing too. Like they always picked people who were good with timing, who knew like, all right, let's let this breathe a little bit. There were a lot of radio DJs, like go back to those old school, like Alice Trebek, Pat Sajak, Bob Barker.
The greats.
All of them, the greats. It would always be, you know, people who were presenters.
Yeah.
You know, in some shape, form, or fashion.
Is there someone doing it right now who you think's doing a great job? What game show host? Or any competition host now, I guess, because now it's like, you got Chopped, you got all these kinds of shows with hosts.
Yeah. I mean, not really. But that's not a knock on like them. I just think it's a knock on the game show has changed. You know, you don't get too many new game shows now.
Well, I mean, we just got Snake Oil with David Spade.
I've not watched it yet. Have you watched it?
I have watched it. I don't really like it, but I don't.
Yeah.
To me, it's just very silly. The concept doesn't pull me in. And that's what I need for a game show is that I'm just like, I don't care about the stakes here. I don't care about these like inventions. But it seems like one of those things where if they had like a host or someone from news, it would be a little better because it is about like finding these fake inventors, I guess. So most of the time I was just like, why is David Spade here?
Right. It's weird because I feel like they are too polished.
Yeah.
But inherently they're not polished because like our profession, the acting profession requires us to kind of be a little more loose. So I feel like they overcorrect on the polishness where it's just like, oh, you're trying to be a game show host instead of just trying to be yourself.
Yeah, right? Exactly. I do think that Nicole Byer is doing a pretty amazing job. And I mean, it's a different kind of format.
I forgot about Nailed
It. Because I mean, it's not really a game show environment because the winner is often someone who you're like, oh, their cake didn't fall apart. She's like creating a different environment. But I also love her on Wipeout. And to me, anytime I see she's hosting something, I get excited.
My niece actually loves Nailed It. Like,
she has for years.
And so when Nailed It came on the TV one time, she was like, oh, I love this show. I got to flex me like, oh, that's my homie.
That's my girl. Yeah.
She's like, you know her? So that's cool, too. I think if you can get a kid to like your show, you're a good host.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I'm just a stoned adult watching it. And I mean, every time they show those bad cakes, I laugh. I don't care
how many
times I see a bad fondant, I am laughing every time.
It's so funny.
And then when Nicole like just can't even take, which you can tell she just wants to break because she is eating the worst thing she's ever tasted. It is, and that's what I think for me makes a good current like game show. Have you watched Is It Cake on Netflix?
I've watched an episode.
I've seen almost every episode of Is It Cake. So the first season is good because they don't get real cake experts. They get people who, it's kind of a bit like Nailed It, are like, I can cook, like I've done making things, but like I'm not amazing, but let me like try to see if I can do this. And mostly you couldn't tell which one was cake. It was genuinely, you'd be like, okay, but they were really easy objects. So it was kind of like, okay, they all had to make a brick. So the second season, they try to make it harder with harder things. They also like got more experienced bakers. Like they have people who on TikTok are like, I have millions of followers and I'm so famous for being the person who makes things out of cake, whatever. The thing is though, when you're trying to make harder things, you can always tell which one is cake. And the first three episodes of the second season, every single baker like gets eliminated almost immediately. Like the girl who is like, I taught these other people, actually, I wrote a book about it. She's the first one eliminated because it's, even though she had the best thing, it's just like, it's not a roller skate. That is cake.
Yeah.
And cake. There's a real roller skate right there. And you just see in the middle of production, they're like, we have got to find a way to make this harder. Like everybody is losing. And so then they go, oh, well, now you can pick multiple props to like hide your cake prop.
But it kind of goes to what I think is different about game shows now. I don't know if you've noticed this, but they are bringing back a lot of game shows from like yesteryear.
Oh, yeah.
$100,000 Pyramid.
Oh, yeah.
Press Your Luck. Like all these shows are trying to come back because, you know, they're starting to realize the classics, you know, are the classics for a reason.
Yeah.
But I think what's different with the host, for instance, nowadays is everything is so pre-produced in a way that it wasn't back in the day. For instance, with Price is Right. Like Bob Barker used to do that show like it was a live taping, even though it wasn't. But a taping was 60 minutes. The commercial breaks were as long as commercials were going to be. And that's how long he stood on stage. He would talk to the audience and he would get the countdown. I mean, like coming back in 10. And he just knew how to fucking.
Yeah.
It was like it was a live production. And same thing with like Family Feud with Richard Dawson. Like those tapings were short. It was like a live production, right? And I've been to a taping with Drew Carey and he does it like a TV show. A taping takes like 90 minutes plus.
Yeah.
And like they'll stop and start and do all these things and do all the setups because that's where he thrives in. And that's fine. I think that's okay. Or even I was on Celebrity Feud this year and like
you're living
Steve,
life.
Who is,
you're living
it was
life out
it
here.
It was beautiful. It was a beautiful thing. I really loved that experience. It was what we lost, but I loved it. And Steve is great.
Yeah. What was Steve like? Did he give
Steve's
you an advice?
Legend.
I just feel like he's one of those guys who's always giving people advice.
In every commercial break, he would go out and talk to the audience and give advice for like 10 minutes. We could not hear him because the stage is actually surprisingly fucking huge.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So it would sound like somebody 20 feet away from you talking intimately with somebody. So you could barely hear in like a huge sound stage. So you could really not hear. Unless you were actually focused in, but we were also talking to each other and shit. So we weren't really paying attention.
And he's just out there like whispering in women's ear, think like a man.
He's just out there, think like a man, act like a lady, think like a man. That's all he was doing. But when I tell you like this man who's a legend, who's been on television for 30 years almost, was struggling with cue cards. Ooh. I probably shouldn't be saying all the secrets, but like, it's just, but it was just like, oh, it's because these people are like so used to TV and not used to present.
Yeah.
Steve butchered my name 2 or 3 times and had to be reminded. Bob Barker did not see my name on a cue card, did not have it phonetically spelled out like Steve had. He just saw my name tag. To this day, is one of the only white men to get my name right the first time he ever tried it.
Bob.
To this day.
Jesus,
and that man was like 80 at that point. And he just looked at my name, Jaquez. And I was like, what the fuck,
gosh,
bro?
Bob,
like, it was crazy. And so even with that, like the second season, they're like, what made the first season so magical? It was just like, we just have an idea. Let's just bring people on to do it. And then it got successful. And now they're like, oh, we got to actually like produce this a little now. We got to do blah, blah,
yeah,
blah, blah.
And have like more like kind of written out segments is what it feels like. Versus not like you said that improv thing, but just that ability to, I think, make people who aren't used to being on TV feel comfortable, because that's a big part of it. If you don't know how to deal with contestants who are coming down, who like, you know, this is the first time they've probably ever been in front of a camera, that like making TV experience is so different.
It is.
You've been on so many game shows. I mean, you told me what makes a good host, a big head.
Yeah.
but what makes a good contestant? Like, did you bring it? Like, were you, what makes a good contestant on these shows?
So I've been on 3 game shows, actually. I've been on The Price is Right. I was on Feud. And then I was on another show called The Idiot Test. Long-ass time ago.
I kind of remember that.
With Ben Glebe or Gleb. So with The Price is Right, how they used to do it, at least, was you used to stand in line hours before they let you in. And they would have, like, plainclothes producers just kind of, like, scoping everybody out. See who's personable, yada, yada, yada. And now they just like do auditions and shit, which you still have to like, which I did for Idiot Test. So I think like what makes a good contestant, depending on the show you're on, obviously. Mm. Let's get the obvious ones out the way first. Excitement. I don't think you need to have charisma. You really don't.
Oh.
I think people think you do, but the host has charisma.
Yeah, like I feel like on Jeopardy sometimes people try a little too hard to be clever.
They try a little too hard.
And I don't like
it's
that.
Like, you know, like James Holzhausner or whatever his name is. It's too much.
It's like,
be a nerd.
Just be a nerd.
Be a nerd.
You don't need to, yeah.
Like, it's
this.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. Like, for instance, when I host Comedian Feud. So, like, the Comedian Feud, I have 2, like, comedian, like, captains, and they bring their teams and shit. We play a full game. And then whoever wins that plays 5 members of the audience. For the second game. And a lot of times, that's where most of the laughs come in, even though we got 10 like funny people on stage for the first half. And it's always fun and it's rowdy and it's a good ass time. But a lot of times, the biggest laughs come from when the audience is on stage, because I get to drive that more. Like, I tell them, like, you ain't got to be, I don't need you to be funny. I just need you to be yourself. And so, like, I get to drive that a little bit more. And then you also still have 5 other comedians and things like that. And, like, these people aren't charismatic or anything like that. But, like, people are naturally funny when they get in situations that they are not used to being in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so I think, like, instead of charisma, you just kind of have to be comfortable in your own skin. If you are a stoic, quiet motherfucker, then be a stoic, quiet motherfucker, like on like a game show.
Yeah.
And like the host will make it work. Like, the host is going to make it work. You know what I'm saying? So I think like that is what makes a good contestant, is just like, don't try to perform. Just be yourself. You know, be okay with looking stupid.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people are not.
Yeah.
That's what gets people nervous. You know, they was like, am I going to look stupid?
I always used to be afraid of, like, what if I end up on, like, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? I don't really answer. I look dumb. I end up on one of these Get Prize where I'm like, I don't know. I think the soap is like $1 million. I'm like, why did I say that?
Yeah.
I say something
but
stupid.
Honestly, that's going to make good TV. Like, because people are going to talk. People going to roast you at home.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's going to make the good TV. I love that. Somebody said, I asked the question, like, what's something you would hate to accidentally swallow on Comedian Feud for Fat and Fast Money? And one of the contestants, it was an audience member, said ibuprofen. And when I tell you I lost it, what a weird thing. Like, I get what he was saying, But like, you know, but just like, I was like,
what?
Ibuprofen. Like, it was so silly and so dumb. And he was so embarrassed, but like, people still talk about that answer sometimes who saw that show. It's like, that shit was so funny. Like, that's what makes a fun show, is just being yourself and being okay looking stupid.
Yeah. What's the game show you want to be on that you, and you've been on so many, but.
I still want to be on Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm too dumb for Jeopardy.
I'm too dumb for Jeopardy, unless it was like maybe pop culture. There's some categories I'd be like, okay, I could come on if they do like a Black History Jeopardy.
Yeah.
Let's go. But no, I could not most of the time. And Wheel of Fortune, I think I'd be good. Sometimes,
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I understand the nervousness being in front of the crowd. Mm-hmm. Like that one, I feel like I'd be really stressed.
Yo, I will say this. It's stressful. It's stressful because, like, you're second-guessing yourself so much.
Yeah.
Also, are you competitive? Are you a competitive person?
I am, yes.
Okay.
But when it, yeah, when it comes to, like, I don't know, game show things, I can be very, like, fair's fair, you know, if I didn't know it, yeah. But when it's, I don't know, something like spinning a wheel, and when it's, like, games of chance and stuff, that's when I'm, like, I get a little fired up.
I think the other thing that makes a good game show contestant, you gotta be competitive.
Okay.
Even for the chance ones, you have to want to beat everybody on stage.
I gotta get competitive. I gotta get in the game.
You watch The Challenge?
Yeah.
That show is inherently meant for assholes.
Yes.
But like, the biggest asshole moment of all time in the game show is when on The Challenge, there's a dude named Johnny Bananas. And it was the first season ever where whoever won the challenge, it was two partners. They did something weird where, like, you know, you had a partner, you guys won together, but within the final, each partner still had certain things to do that was timed. So you could decide which one of the two partners who won had the best time, and whoever had the best time got to decide whether they wanted to split the money with their partner who had just won or keep it all. And at this point, it was the biggest prize ever. It was $1 million prize.
Damn.
And it was the first time it happened. There are three like teams that win: third place, second place, first place. Third place, second place, both split. Johnny Bananas and his partner Sarah, who were rivals. It was the season called Rivals. So it was two people who were rivals who like had to work together, and they generally become friends by the end. They become friends. They squashed everything. They were good. And he took the fucking money. He took it all. It was like the Red Wedding Game of Thrones. Like, I was shocked. And I had Johnny Bananas on a podcast a couple years ago, and we talked about that moment. And he recognized it. Oh, like, it was the biggest asshole moment I've ever had in my life. And like, he was like, it kind of ruined his life for like 6 years.
Absolutely it did. People like hated him. I have a hard time with like dating game shows. Like that's
because
I'm always like, none of this is real.
None of this is
the
real.
The only one I kind of thought like I gave it a shot was 90 Day Fiance. They tried to do I don't know if you're familiar with that franchise, if you watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. They tried to do a game show spinoff called 90 Day Love Games, and it was basically...
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Oh, nobody does, because it was on Discovery Plus, not on TLC. No one watched it except for me.
Okay.
And they had couples from, like, different 90 days come on and basically play love games where they had to, like, prove how much they knew about their partners. But, like... It was all shot during COVID, so they're all at home just doing this over Zoom, basically.
Yeah.
And you see these people in real time getting so mad at each other. Like, the couples,
that's so funny.
Like, at one point, one of the husbands just, like, storms off and is like, I'm done. I'm sick. I can't do this anymore. And just storms off. And then the host is like, well, let's just keep it moving. And it is some of the wildest television I've ever seen for a game show. And then I don't even know if it's still on there, but like nobody knows about it.
I kind of want to watch it. It sounds like the Newlywed Game, but for more toxic couples.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like these couples are, I don't want to say they're all toxic, but I mean,
it's some couples where, you know,
I would assume they are toxic.
If you ask a question like, so when's the last time you checked his phone? That's going to cause issues with this group of people.
That's going to cause issues. That's
And it did.
That too. when did you last betray each other's trust?
Yeah, and just watching
yesterday,
most of the men not know anything about these women that they brought to another country. Yeah. But God, I love 90 Day Fiancé. I'm watching it still. I'll never stop watching.
I don't watch that many reality shows.
Yeah? You draw a line here with between game shows and reality shows. You see, I feel like this is a thing that a lot of people just kind of conflate all of that really together.
I don't conflate them.
Yeah.
I don't conflate them. I do think they are in the same world. I recognize that. But it's a lot more truncated than a reality show.
Exactly.
I think even a competition reality show is different to a degree, because one of the cool things about game shows, outside of shows like Jeopardy and shit like that, is like once you're on and you're gone.
Yeah.
Right? And even if you're on multiple times, like, we don't get to know that much about you.
I know when someone is on The Price is Right, they're not going on there because they want to get more Instagram followers. Like, they're not trying to create an arc over several episodes. They are trying to win a trip to Virginia.
That's it. Yeah.
That's
it. Sweet home Virginia.
To sweet home Virginia. Yeah. And we're sitting, and you're like, really? That's the main. Oh, come on. I get it.
Yeah.
And it's like, but you also get a car. And oh, I want
to
be.
I had a chance to win a car, and I lost that shit.
How did it feel to lose a car?
I didn't care until I saw the episode. Like, so here's the thing about The Price is Right is the way it's set up is you continually have something to look forward to on the show. So, like, I got into contestants where I was part of the first four to come on down. I was the second on stage. I had a chance to win the car, lost that game. So disappointed, but now I get a chance to look forward to the wheel.
Yeah.
I spun the wheel. I won the wheel.
Nice.
So
nice.
I got to the Showcase Showdown.
Yeah.
And then when I lost the Showcase Showdown, I was disappointed, but now you're just riding the high of, I was just on the fucking Price is Right.
And I made it to Showcase Showdown.
And I made it to the Showcase Showdown. So like,
the best part of the show.
The best part of the show. So yeah, I'm disappointed, but like, that was a dope ass hour of my life.
Yeah.
Right? And so now I get to go home and tell the stories and like yada, 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 and get excited to watch it. And so when I sat down and watched it, I was like, I can't believe I lost that shit.
Like, damn, looking back, what was the defining like question or moment you knew like?
Of that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like the pricing game I got to play wasn't even like a popular one, which made me mad too. It was one where I had to like guess if four different prizes were true or false. The price.
Yeah.
And however many I got correct was how many chances I got to choose the correct price of the car. I only got one correct. I only got one chance. And the price I chose was $42 more expensive than the actual price of the car. So they put two numbers that were close together.
Yeah. That's how they get you.
Less than $100 together. And I knew it was one of those. And like, if I would have had two chances, I would have won the car, but I only had one.
That's how they get you.
And I didn't even recognize that. I didn't even recognize that until I watched the episode. Like, I was like, oh, that shit was so close, man. Like, you get, because you're just in
you're
it.
You're just
at the,
in
you know,
it. I don't even know how you could stay focused. I just feel like I would just be anxious. Like, and I don't get nervous in front of crowds, but there's just, now I'm trying to think and do math and the lights, and I just, and with
but
Bob
see,
Barker
that's the
there,
job of the host.
Yeah.
That's the job of the host. The host gets you through it.
Calm you down.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang in there.
Because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
TV, I say. So you don't watch a lot of the modern game shows?
I do. I mean, one of the worst game shows I saw recently was one on Netflix called Awake.
Ooh.
It was so fun. I watched the whole fucking
season. Oh, I think I heard about that. What was this one about?
It was the one where, like, a whole bunch of contestants had to stay awake for 24 hours and count quarters. And then, like, the
Why
next day, they had
to,
like,
the quarters?
Just to, like, the next day to be like, how many quarters did you count?
Was like the like count that doesn't tell you how so much how long someone stayed awake. What does that have to do with anything?
I have no idea. It was such a bad. I watched every episode. it was during the pandemic. It was like the beginning of the pandemic, so it was like the perfect like mindless show to watch.
Yeah,
but it obviously did not get a second season.
And that doesn't even sound hard. I think I can stay awake for 24 hours.
Oh, yeah, you can stay awake for 20. But, like, when I tell you, but okay, so I will say this. The staying awake for 24 hours is not inherently hard, especially for somebody like myself who has insomnia. But, like, the amount of quarters these people were counting were, like, six figures of quarters. So
does counting quarters make you tired? What does...
No, I hope not. But I think, like, I think the premise that they set up was, like, your brain would forget at a certain point passing a certain number. Like, by the time you get to, like, $10,000 in quarters, you're probably like,
well, yeah.
All right. You got to have a system.
Yeah, that's
like
what my first thought was, like, what kind of system are you doing? Are you just counting number of quarter or value of quarter, you know, and then,
yeah,
you know.
Are you doing fours? Are
yeah,
you doing fours
and then dividing if you want, you know, yeah.
It was not a good show.
You have not watched, like, Is It Okay, but you did watch a bunch of people stay awake for 24 hours.
24 hours.
And count quarters.
And count quarters, yeah. And I do watch reality shows.
What are you watching? What shows you watch?
I'm a reality show watcher where I'll watch the show when I need to.
Okay.
The only show I watch continually is The Challenge.
Do you consider, like, a Survivor or a Big Brother to be, like, a game show? Or is that, like, competitive reality?
I think Big Brother is more competitive reality, and Survivor is more game show.
Okay.
One of the fun things I love about game shows, or let's just say even board games, right, is, like, we are playing this right now until it ends, right? And usually the end is in one session. Whereas, like, Survivor, for instance, if I can go to sleep and wake up and strategize and all of these. Now we're moving over to, like, you know, we're in the military or some shit. Like, yeah. I don't know, like, it's more, I think the fun thing about game shows is you don't have that much time to think.
Yeah.
Like, you kind of have to make your decisions based on just what you already know. And, like, as a kid who was very good at school but did not study, because I was very much don't fucking know it, I'm not gonna know it. I'm not gonna go home and read a book 12 times in a row to remember it. Like, it must not be important for me to know.
I mean, I do want to know what you think of Jeff Probst as a host.
As a host, oh, I think he's a great host.
Recently, a lot of Survivor fans have been sick of Jeff. They've been.
Oh, really?
There's people in the Survivor community. They want to change. They're tired of Jeff.
Interesting.
But
why?
I don't. Yeah, I don't know.
I think that's also just where we are. Like, you know, people will probably be sick of Bob Barker, too. We just have too many options. Like, we know we have options.
Yeah, but that's his whole job. That's like what...
That's his whole job. Yeah, like, why would you want to see anybody else
do it? He's Jeff Probst.
Unless he wants to step down.
Yeah, if it's his call, okay. But don't... Yeah. Jeff, if you're listening, and I know you are, Don't bow.
I know you are.
Don't bow to these Survivor heads who've lost sight of what the show really means.
Do it to 2050.
Yeah. As long as you want.
30 more years. As long as you
until
want.
There's,
pass away
until
on the show.
Waters rise and there's no more islands for you to go to.
until everybody survives, you stay on Survivor.
You survive. You're the main one.
You survive. You're the host. I mean, like, unless he's done something, which, you know, like, when Harrison from Bachelor, like, you know, like, he had to go, obviously. So unless he's done some shit like that, then all right. But if it's just like, we just want a new host, it's like, then fucking stop watching the show.
Yeah.
There's a whole show where the floor is lava.
The floor is lava. There's so many good. They're doing Squid Games. They're doing real Squid Games. Are you going to watch it?
I'm actually excited about that. I'm excited about that one.
I'm very team. I don't know why they're doing this. And it seems like it goes against everything the show was about.
100%. But that's why I want to watch
it. If someone also asked me, like, do you want to do it? I would go, yes, absolutely, please.
I think that's what I base my favorite game shows off of, or shows that I like, is if I wanted to do it. Like, I would want to do Squid Games.
Yeah.
Because, like, I would think my competitiveness and my ego thinks I could be good
I think I'd be good at it.
Jeopardy, I have no interest, yeah. Which is why I don't watch Jeopardy a lot.
I don't watch it much, yeah.
I would suck at this.
Unless it's, you know, oh, they're doing a special one. Oh, Celebrity Jeopardy. Oh, because I know it'll be easy. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I know they're going to dumb these questions down.
Yeah. That's always good.
Who was the president that dated Marilyn Monroe? Who was John F. Kennedy?
And I'm just like, I can do that. Yeah, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so much smarter than this person from The Young and the Restless. Look at me.
I know. I actually do not like celebrity versions of game shows as often. Not because they're not more fun, which is funny because Comedian Feud is essentially a celebrity.
You'd literally do one of those.
it's more closer to Celebrity Feud than regular Family Feud. But, you know, got to sell tickets and make money.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not because I don't like the celebrities. And again, I was on Celebrity Feud. So, like, I'm talking shit about a show I was on. You're not playing for anything.
Yeah, that's the thing is that I'm always like, let them keep it. I'm like, they did the work. They should. I don't care if they're celebrity. Let them keep the money.
You do get paid to be on these shows. I'm just going to say that real quick.
Never mind. Did not know that part. Okay.
We get paid more than what you would win if you were a regular family. I'm just going to say that.
Okay. You know what? I take all that. Never mind. You play for the charity of your choice and you enjoy it.
You're playing for the charity for sure. This is fucked up. We did not win. And as a team, collectively, we made more money just getting paid than the charity got paid.
Wow.
You know, it's not my money. I also think this is what makes a good game show host again. Even when I'm hosting, like, Comedian Feud or when I'm watching, I genuinely get happy when I see people win.
Yeah.
Like, I genuinely get happy.
I love seeing people win.
I love it.
Especially when they have, like, a little backstory. And I'm like,
Oh, yeah, nice. I get emotional with it. Like, look, I've been poor. I grew up on the south side of Chicago. And so I also know, like, how much $20,000 can change a situation, even if it's temporary. Or just the excitement of people who, like, don't get to do things like this. You know? Like, we're actors. We're entertainers. So, like... You know, we get to, even though it's hard for us, like, on the outside looking in, we get to be on TV or we get to be in writers' rooms and shit like that. So, like, that's exciting, right? But for some of these people who get on game shows, this is, like, the most exciting thing they'll ever do or have ever done. And, like, you can see that genuine excitement.
Like, their family's going to be like, oh, remember when so-and-so was on this?
Yeah.
Like, they're going to record that. They're going to keep it on DVD, VHS, a file, everything.
Yeah. And so, like, that... makes it really fun for me. I really enjoy, like, seeing that, and, like, I enjoy that aspect of game shows. And also, like, when you get celebrities on these shows, celebrities tend to make the moments about themselves.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'm just like, just play the game, bruh. Like, or you're not this dumb. You're not, you are playing it up.
We see what you're doing here, okay? And stop.
The one show that is fun, though, and another one that I wish they would bring back. I do like Pyramid.
Pyramid's
because even though it is the celebrity, that's been the motto of the show forever. But you are playing for somebody who, like, you know, is not a celebrity. So that's different. I do like that. I wish they would bring back Hollywood Squares. Hollywood Squares was so fucking fun. It was so good.
I loved Hollywood Squares. Oh. And there's just so many people who'd be so good on it. It's like up there with I Love the 90s and 70s where I'm like, bring it back.
Yeah.
Because there's so many comedians and like improv people who would be famous if you let them do this.
It would be dope. And like, and then you can get new stars. That's how Richard Dawson started doing Family Feud. Like, he was on shows, but then he was on a Match Game.
Yeah.
And people was like, oh, we love him.
And they gave him his own show. It used to be
and
so simple.
And now Family Feud is like 50 years old.
Jaquez, this has been so fun. I love talking game shows with you. I'm literally just going to go put on the Bob Barker channel so I can like get work done today.
Any
plugs? Where can the people follow you? When is the next show?
First, thank you for having me on. I truly enjoy. I didn't know what we were going to talk about today. So anytime I get to talk about game shows for an hour is a happy ass hour for me.
That's what we try to do here at TV Club.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. If you're ever in LA, Comedian Feud, always a good ass time. Come through. Like, we do not half ass. We have a real face off podium. We have a real Family Feud system that was built by an engineer,
Dang.
A computer engineer. Like, we do it right. So it will simulate being on the real thing. And if you like to get high, or watch high black comedians do improv, come to Pass That Blunt
yes.
at UCB Theater every month as well. I host that too. It's every Friday, the 10th, the 10th of November.
Oh, the 10th. Okay.
So I know. Yeah.
Well, then go this because then it'll be. So then go. I'll be there.
Go. Hell yeah. Come through.
I saw
come
Lacey through. Post about it go. And I was like, oh, I got to go.
Yeah.
Jaquez, thank you so much for joining me. And listeners, we have talked a lot today about the SAG strike, the actor strike. If you would like to support the actors who are still out on the picket line, you can go join them. If you're in LA or New York, you can drop off food, water, if you don't have time to walk. And if you're not there, if you're in another part of the country, you can donate. You can donate money to the Entertainment Community Fund, which helps non-actor Hollywood crew members who suffer hardships due to the strike. You can donate at entertainmentcommunity.org and make sure to direct your gift to the film and television category when asked. And TV Club, make sure, you know, you're caught up on, I mean, first of all, some of these game shows I've talked about. If you have not gone to watch the new season of Nailed It, and they changed the format a bit for Nailed It. Now it's the same contestants throughout the whole season, and they, like, get
really?
Better. Yeah. It's like Nailed It Challenge, and they, like, get better as the show goes on. So by the end, you're like, oh, my gosh, this person actually made, like, a really beautiful cake. The Morning Show is another one. The finale is coming up soon, and we are going to be talking about it. The Golden Bachelor, I'm still crying to it every week. And I love that the women have just, like, come up with the wildest alliances, and then they all still just, like, cry when they're sent home. And Gary is having the hardest time still being nice about it. But
such a hard time.
He's really struggling. But The Golden Bachelor, it's doing great. And then, you know, all of our animated shows are back, and we haven't had a moment to really sit and discuss. So we're going to be doing something with that. So Bob's Burgers, the new Crepopolis, which I am watching and I am laughing, but every time I laugh, I am like, is this just because I took Latin and I'm a nerd? Like, what? Is everyone laughing? I don't know. But also Rick and Morty is back. So we're going to be getting into all of the animation domination that is back in our lives on Sundays. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you love this. I love this. And, you know, we'll be back next week with another episode.
TV I Say with Ashley Ray. Another episode. Another episode.
TV I Say with Ashley Ray is an Earwolf production made by me, Ashley Ray Harris. It's engineered by Abby Aguilar, produced by Anita Flores, executive produced by Amelia Chapelo, and our original theme song is by Rafia. It means so much to me if you go rate, review, subscribe, follow TV I Say. Let us know what you think and tell your friends. Share with your golden girls. Tell your boys. If you love my TV recommendations, let everyone you know know. For special TV Club members, join my Patreon.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang in there.
Because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support, anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.